And this is Leslie Curran saying hello once again and welcome to the programme. I'm delighted you're tuning in and joining us, and I do hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 15 minutes, as today the Reverend Philip Gardner is with us to Let the Bible Speak.
Today I want to read some words from the book of Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 and the verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. He was uncovered with his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own word. In Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 9 we read, Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The general tenor of Noah's life was one of greatest integrity. Generally, Noah was one whose life was distinguished for its piety and godliness. However, at some point between the exit of Noah and his family from the ark and his death at the age of 950, he fell into great sin. He became drunk with wine. This state of drunkenness was one that was completely inexcusable. Prior to the flood, Noah had witnessed many engaging in the sin of drunkenness. He knew all about its horrid effects. In Matthew 24, the Lord, speaking about the times prior to the Lord's return, said that, As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The eating and drinking that we read of there is not merely a reference to the eating of dinner. Rather, the eating and drinking refers to something that was unlawful. They were engaged in drunkenness and gluttony. During those years leading up to the flood, though they were years of great drunkenness, Noah had lived soberly. But on this one occasion, between the exit from the ark and his death, he was no longer acting in a vigilant manner. The word of God warns that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. While drinking and drunkenness are glamorized today, there is certainly nothing glamorous about it. Wine is a mocker. However, despite the fact that Noah's sin was horrid, in the end the sin of Ham on this particular occasion came up for greater scrutiny. For in the words that follow, God blessed the two brothers of Ham, but then Ham's youngest son, Canaan, was cursed. I have no doubt that Noah bitterly regretted this drunken incident that had taken place, but the sin that came up for greatest censure was that of Ham. In verse 22 we read that Ham saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. It is important to understand that Ham reaped what he had sown. While his brethren were blessed, the descendants of Ham through Canaan were cursed. Three times over, Noah spoke of the servitude that Canaan would suffer. In the verse 25, it says, A servant of servants shall he be. In verse 26, it speaks of Canaan being the servant of Shem. And in verse 27, Canaan being the servant of Japheth. What is the indication that Ham reaped what he had sown? Ham was the son of Noah. He brought shame on his father's name. So in time then, the son of Ham would bring shame upon the name of Ham. Ham, the youngest son of Noah, sinned against Noah. And Canaan, being the youngest son of Ham, was the one that had the curse laid on him. The curse then upon Canaan reminded Ham of what he had done. While the son of Ham, Canaan, was cursed, Ham shared in the punishment. The disgrace surely lay with him. Ham then reminds us of the awfulness of living a life without the Lord. He stands as a great warning to the sinner. God's word says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I want to say first of all that those who relish shame will reap shame. In verse 22 it says, "Ham saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without." What Ham witnessed that day was no accident on his part. Had Ham seen his father's nakedness accidentally that day, no sin could have been attributed to him. But this was no accident. Ham went into the tent and saw his father's nakedness, his father's shame, but there was no feeling of shame on Ham's part. Rather, there was a relishing of what he saw. He was feeding upon shame. The Bible doesn't elaborate for us here what actually took place in the tent. We read in the verse 24 that when Noah awoke from his wine, that he knew what his younger son had done unto him. Most certainly what went on here was unsavoury. He went into the tent, he saw something shameful, and he relished it. But in the end, Ham reaped shame. A curse was pronounced upon his descendants through his youngest son Canaan. "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be." What is a servant of servants? It speaks of deepest servitude. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. That is, he is supreme over all rulers. The servant of servants, then, is the lowest we could say of the servants. From Canaan flowed the Canaan nations. You think of the shame that lay before them. You think of how in the nation of Israel they were driven back. Think of how some of those who remained became servants to Israel. Over time, the Canaanites were largely removed. Ham had relished shame. His descendants would reap it. The ungodly in this present age relish shame. Remember how in the Garden of Eden, on account of the rebellion of Adam and Eve, they felt the shame of their nakedness. They fled from the Lord. Yet the ungodly today parade their sin. All types of vile behaviour are excused as being progressive. In Philippians 3 in the verse 19, it speaks of a people whose glory is their shame. That is, people boast in things of which they ought to be ashamed. They actually begin to worship. As men pursue after sin and relish its shame, whatever it is, they ought to be warned. There will be a great reaping season. In Daniel 12 verse 2 it says, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Hell is the place of eternal shame. And just as Canaan would never recover from this curse, if you die with Christ, you will reap shame eternally. The sinner in hell will eternally feel as Adam felt when the Lord came to the garden in the cool of the day. They will seek to hide from the holiness of God, but will never find a place of concealment. Their sin will be open before God, the shame of it owned by the sinner through all eternity. So as we think of the sinner reaping what he has sown, those who relish shame will reap shame. I want to say then that those who publicize sin will have their sin publicized. In verse 22 it says, "Ham told his two brethren without." The word "told" there actually means published. The word "without" could be translated "street." He published to his brethren in the street what he had seen. Ham ought to have wept over the shame of his father's sin. He ought to have been weeping that his father, such a man of God, could have fallen into such shame. But rather he rejoiced in his father's degradation. Perhaps for a period of time Ham had begun to resent his father's godly example. And he took this opportunity then to belittle the man of God by proclaiming the sin that he had committed. The word of God warns about sizing sin and making light of the seriousness of sin. In Proverbs 11 verse 13 it says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Proverbs 14 verse 9, "Fools make a mock at sin." Ham rejoiced in his father's sin. He made it known through the community. But Ham reaped what he had sown. For as this curse was placed upon Canaan, The sin of Ham was made known to the whole world. So today the world publicizes sin as if it's progress. The world mocks those who speak against sin. Perhaps you have laughed at those who have been humbled by their sin. Perhaps you have laughed at those whose lives have been wrecked by sin. Remember this, if you die without Christ, one day your sin will be made public. Every secret sin, every private sin, every concealed sin will be publicly announced. In Revelation 20 in the verse 12, it says, I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened which is of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to works. Picture the great audience there, the dead small and great. They stand before God's great judgment throne, and as the books are opened, the dead are judged out of the things written in the books. The books contain a record of their works, their deeds. In Romans 2 verse 6 it says that the Lord will render to every man according to his deeds. You may have thought that your sins were forgotten, but if you're not yet saved, God has an accurate record of every one of them. If you die as you are, every one of them will be declared on that day of judgment. Perhaps today you acknowledge your sin before God. Perhaps you feel the guilt of it. You ask the question, how can I escape the wrath of God? How can that record in heaven of your sin be blotted out? You need a covering. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ today that can cover over your sin. Just as Shem and Japheth took that robe and placed it over Noah to cover his shame, so the Lord covers his people in the robe of his righteousness. Their sin is put from God. Today, dear sinner, has your sin been covered or is still before the Lord's view? If you are without him, may you cry for mercy and cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ.